life better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes.
Oh, you know that song. It's Thursday afternoon, and it's time to head in the garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. This is Oren Pearson. You've been hearing me a lot on the radio this week because it's the fall member drive, and we've been reaching out to listeners and saying, hey, if you appreciate what you hear on the radio, if you depend on KFSK for your local news, for your community connection, this week we're asking folks to chip in financially. This is our big fundraiser this week. And so please do. We've got staff standing by in the phone room, and Laura Wong Rose, our astonishing off the charts core volunteer, 772-3808, right there, ready to take your donation. And it is, it's the key. We literally cannot do what we do here by providing this 24/7, 365 days a year. Public radio service to you to keep you informed, connected, safe, strong, in the know, and entertained. And so we thank you so much for supporting, and I encourage you to do so. Also, we want to thank the Flower Farm for helping underwrite In the Garden. They're out there at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, finished up for the season, and thanking everybody for buying so many flowers this year. And also announcing that the flower farm itself is for sale. Find out more, 772-3464. And we've got Ed Bajarski on the phone with us. And we can take your calls, too, here during this program. If you have a question you want to have answered about your garden, Ed Bajarski is the one who has that answer for you. And he's here on the phone with us, dialing in from Juneau. Hello there, Ed.
Hey there, Oren. So it's time to stump Ed with a question that he can't answer, eh?
Well, we don't need to make it a challenge that way, but I defy anybody to, I mean, I've never heard a question come your way on this show that I didn't learn a lot through the answer. So if folks are out there working in their garden and they're coming upon something and they need to learn more, well, this program is an amazing resource. And we have a website collection of pretty much all of our past recordings here up on our website, kfsk.org. You can browse the short little description of each episode and listen back in if you like. But here we are, it's October already. How in the world did that happen? This year has flown right on by, and it sounds like it's time to be getting ready to plant garlic. What do you think about that?
Oh, no doubt about it. You basically interrupted me dealing with a guy who wanted to buy some garlic, and he interrupted me just as I had finished fertilizing and the bed that I dug the potatoes out of. And we will, as soon as I get off this program, I will go back to planting garlic.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a great time of year to do this. We wanted to have this thing cooling down so that the plants, the garlic cloves, will start to grow roots. They'll be stimulated by the cool, moist soil to start to grow roots, just as tulips and daffodils would also be. So I think we'll probably be talking maybe about both kinds of bulbs. Some differences, some similarities. I mean, they are distantly related also. So the main thing to start with, location. I guess that's all about gardening as it is with real estate. You know, you want a sunny location. You need good drainage. That's really important. If it's too wet, they're going to rot. The bulbs will rot in the ground. The bulbs will rot in the ground. That's not good. So there's the start. And whether we're starting with a brand new bed that you made this spring, summer, maybe grew some other vegetables in and then have harvested them. Then you need to re-fertilize this bed. Garlic is a heavy feeder. Really benefits by getting lots of food for the roots to take up, which then go into growing, you know, nice green tops, and which then eventually result in hopefully a nice big bulb for you to harvest next July or August.
Okay.
Then, of course, you got to decide, well, what kind of garlic to grow. And in general, for us in northern climates, generally, the hardneck garlics are better adapted to cooler to cold winters. The stuff you normally buy in the grocery store from California or from Mexico, I just saw some of that in the store today, awful lot of garlic. I mean, the biggest garlic grower is China. You know, that's one of those. But most, you know, a very large proportion of all of that is a softneck garlic, which if you see braided garlic or you see directions for to get the stuff, it can be braided. Those stems do not have this hard stalk which grows up out of the bulb in mid-early summer and eventually results in these tasty scapes, which we can eat. We talked about those way back last June or so.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to acquire your garlic, and bigger is better, definitely. So you want big bulbs, which have big cloves, which you then will gently, after you've well-fertilized your garden box or bed, with lots of compost, organic fertilizers, mix in seaweed, brewer's grain if you've got it, coffee grounds if you've got it, all of that stuff. And, you know, rake it out, smooth it out. I use a tool. Because I'm planting a couple thousand of these. I've got over 700 in the ground so far this year. So I'm a third of the way there. So I've got a tool which makes holes, which is called a dibble in general. But this one has six points on it, which will make holes for me about 3 inches deep. And they're spaced out. My spacing that I like is 4 cloves per square foot, which translates into 6 inches apart both ways. So I've got this piece of 2x6 with 3 of these basically points, 1-inch sharpened wood stakes on them on each side of this with handles, and so I can punch holes. I can punch a lot of holes in a hurry in my bed or box where I'll be planting them.
Nice. That sounds like a nice kind of consistent. You got it dialed in the right depth, the right width.
Yeah, I mean, I actually started out smaller, and I've been kind of spacing them out as well. With good soil and, you know, good rich soil, that's a good spacing. Unless you want smaller bulbs, which I can't imagine why somebody would, you know, we use a lot of garlic. We like to keep garlic, and I like not to peel a bunch of little cloves. I'd rather peel fewer but larger cloves. So, again, to get those big cloves, which grow on big bulbs, I need to start with big bulbs, and so I will gently split apart. I'll slit the skins on the between the cloves of a bulb, and break them apart gently, so I can and then sort the biggest cloves from each bulb. So there may be an occasional small one, usually not too many with the hardneck, not like with the store-bought garlic, which has all those miserable tiny little cloves in the center, and, you know, you pay for them, you want to use them, but they're a chore to peel. And so I take those, I've got my holes already made going down my bed, and plant the big cloves pointy end up. You know, it's the same mantra we use for planting tulips and daffodils. So pointy end up, so that way the clove isn't wasting its energy. You know, if you put them in upside down, then they're going to go out and down, and then they have to turn around up, you know, to oppose gravity, to go up into the light. So if you plant them right the first time, then that too will help you get the nice size cloves and bulbs that you want eventually. They're just barely, after I get them all planted, you know, they're down in these small holes. I'll gently rake across that, and so the individual cloves are covered. And then, well, yesterday I was actually went to our local purveyor of aggregates, sand gravel, and got buckets of sand that I'll throw a layer of sand on top of all of these, and it's half inch to an inch thick. And this works for a couple of ways. Some of my beds are rather moist; they're a lot of organic matter, so adding the extra sand helps in the long-term drainage. It helps to reduce the weed growth. You know, the weed seeds, there's weed seeds here. I'm sitting up on a patch of chickweed in one of my drier beds in my hoop house, and there's chickweed, and among other things. So, but if I can cover up that soil, whether with sand or otherwise, that will inhibit those weed seed germinations next spring. And also make it easier to pull out the weeds. And then, of course, as I harvest my garlic next summer, then the sand that's covering them will end up getting mixed into the beds. So, again, thereby improving things. And, you know, at some point I'll probably add some more organic matter, you know, to balance out the sand, because the organic matter is used up, is metabolized by the critters, which are breaking down the various whatever organic matter is there.
Gotcha. So the drainage, the well fertilized rich soil, the placement, the breakdown. There's a lot that goes into having a successful garlic crop.
Well, there is, yeah, and I mean, we've been doing this for, 25 years or so. I mean, one of the garlics I started out with came from my father-in-law in north of Chicago after he passed, and, you know, my wife remembered him growing garlic, but boy, when we went there, they were tiny. I mean, these were some tiny bulbs that these days, you know, wouldn't make mustard. But I figured, I want to try these. So we dug some of these up one fall and brought them back here, and the next year they planted them, you know, and planted them, and in my rich soil they got bigger, and we replanted the next year and they got bigger, and so I'm still growing those probably just about 25 years later. It's Scotty's garlic, and it's one that does well here for us. So, and then over the years I've tried of other varieties, and I'm still growing 6 or 8 different kinds. We've talked a little bit about some of the varieties there too, and one that I noticed this year, and because of our wet conditions, you know, we talked 3 months ago probably about harvesting and storage and all that. Well, I've had really difficult time with one called German Porcelain. Because I suspect it's because it just did not want to dry out, and it is a porcelain type. It has really tough skins, which is good for long-term storage, but bad or more difficult to cure. So I found that, and people that I've sold garlic to have replaced their garlic or their money, that it just, some of those bulbs were soft, and when they peeled off the outer skins, they found mold on the cloves. Mm-hmm. And some of the cloves were starting to get moldy themselves inside their skins. Mm-hmm. And so those are garbage. I mean, they're not, can't be eaten, shouldn't be eaten, and definitely should not be planted, because they'll result in more mold and stuff, which we talked about some even as we were harvesting back in late July. And, you know, I thought I had really been careful and weeded out and sorted out all those. Well, obviously I didn't. So that's one I'm concerned enough about it. I'm not sure if I will plant a few of them this year. And, of course, then who knows what kind of a summer we're going to have next year. whether that's going to be good, bad, or otherwise.
It's a really interesting situation, though, and it proves the point that, you know, some varieties of plants do better in our ecosystem, and it takes experimentation and, you know, patience and humility to find the right match. It's like, it's kind of like, romantic, like the dating life or something. You know, you're like, well, I think this is a very attractive garlic, but we'll just have to get to know each other and see if you can really withstand the rainy summers of our life. But that's a shame, though, that some has gone wasted there. Really speaks to the importance of successful curing and looking out for those skins. Boy. Oh, we lost the connection there. We'll get him back on the phone. Garlic. The life of garlic gardening. Boy, oh boy. Lots to hear about garlic. Here, let's reconnect here. The cell phone life.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato.
There's no cellular network that can stop in the garden. We're back. Welcome back on the phone here, Ed.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to be planting a little different assortment of varieties. Some of these other ones, the Rocamboles, which are said to have better flavor very often, but they dry out more easily, quickly, and they don't store as long. So anyway, that's going to be a change this year at least. Once we mentioned covering my beds with sand, but even if you don't cover them with sand, at least cover your cloves with soil. And then if you can get more seaweed, throw some seaweed, throw 2 to 4 inches of seaweed on top. And over the whole thing then gets clear plastic for the winter. And I think that's really important, because otherwise, it's going to be wet. If it isn't wet now, it's going to be wet tomorrow or next week. And most of the winter, La Nina or whatever else we get, who knows. So that will help, and then we can rest. Well, at least not worry about our garlic anyway, and all the other cleanup and stuff that needs to be done in the garden. And then come next end of March or so, peek underneath if the garlic isn't already pushing up, lifting up the plastic, get it uncovered when it's springtime.
I love it. So how deep does a bed need to be with good, rich soil to grow nice, big garlic?
So, well, that's a good question. So comparing that to carrots, say, or potatoes or something like that, garlic doesn't have a big root system. I mean, it doesn't go that deep. So you could get by with probably a 6 to 8 inch deep bed for that. Or you might also use that same bed, that depth for lettuce, some of the leafy crops and that sort of thing too. Generally the garlic, onions, shallots would be something else that you could plant now if you've got them. And so you just don't need as deep a soil. You don't need it as deep as when we're planting tulips and daffodils. Those, the same, those bulbs, the big ones at least, would normally be planted 6 to 8 inches deep, compared where with the garlic, we're only pushing them in out of sight, so they're only about 2 inches deep. by comparison, about the same as you would plant crocus, mm-hmm. for example. But again, you still need, you know, you still need a good reservoir of food, of nutrients there. And again, that's something next spring and early summer, at least, up till, you know, late May, early June, you can do a little bit of liquid feeding also, potentially. Make the weed juice tea or manure tea and that kind of thing, too, to give them a boost next spring. But again, since we're, if we're using compost, seaweed, organic fertilizers, they're slow-release fertilizers, which is a good thing for them because, again, these garlic, you know, it's going to be, what, 9 months from now, from planting until they are harvested.
Wow. Yeah, good point. Letting stuff break apart there in the beds. Wow. So it's amazing that it's already time to plant garlic, but that's good to know. So you think, well, you're doing it right now, and so listeners out there who are going to grow garlic, go for it. This weekend, if you get a nice overcast day, get it going. You want to have nice, rich soil. You said just plant them in just a few inches deep, just out of sight, basically, right? And
yeah. So yeah, I mean, if you're just using your planting tools that you have on each hand, mm-hmm. you know, poke a hole with your finger or your thumb, mm-hmm. and drop in a clove. Again, remember the pointy end up bit, and away they go. So they will start to grow their roots just like the others will. And again, we don't want to be planting them too early, but as far as lateness, we can be planting. I mean, I've planted them into November, certainly, and even into December. The problem if we plant them too early is that they might sprout early. They might, if we get a mild spell in January, which often happens. You know, I've had garlic coming up in January, and I don't want that. Hmm. Same with tulips or daffodils, because they're going to be, we know they're going to get frosted. And that's going to slow them down there because then they have used nutrients to get to that point, and then that top part is likely to be killed off, and then they have to try to start up again. So that's going to result in either complete death or weaker plants, smaller plants. So, Tim, you know, if you want to wait a little later, and or if you haven't gotten your supply of garlic to plant, that's the other issue now to see about. Getting some.
Okay, good stuff. So it's time to be getting them ready at the very least, picking out the cloves you're going to plant, making sure your soil is good to go and your plan is in place, and then when you get some time, do it. Plant your garlic and just let that 9 months happen and just know you got something good brewing out there, and it's going to be a flavorful season come next summer.
Absolutely. And again, here's our segue right into planting other bulbs, you know, tulips, daffodils, crocus, snowdrops, lucilla, and all that. This is the time for planting them also. And same rules apply, you know, hopefully sunny, good drainage, and all that sort of thing. And with those, there we're planting, our spacing is going to vary from 2 to 6 inches apart, potentially. But then if we're going to be planting lots, hopefully you've got lots of bulbs available or people have already ordered them, you can dig large holes, a foot across and 2 feet long, and scratch in the fertilizer, some bulb food or other similar fertilizer, organic, bone meal and other stuff. Scratch that in the bottom because that's where the roots are going to be growing, and then plant them, you know, space them out. And normally on the packages, we'll say how far apart these individual bulbs should be planted, whether it be 3 inches, 4 inches, 6 inches apart. Usually tells you how deep to plant them also. So again, you can plant a whole bunch of bulbs in a fairly small area, which can really give you this burst of color come spring. And again, you can get by with, if you want to treat these as an annual, and for tulips, that's almost what they are, because they'll do half as much the next year, and the year after that, usually you get pretty much just leaves. So if you didn't put any fertilizer in underneath your tulips, you'll still get tulips, because all the food they need for that first year's growth is in the bulb that you plant. And then you could pull them out, discard, and press on. Occasionally, if you use the, you buy some of the oldest varieties, the red or yellow Appledorn, or a couple of the classics, those seem to come back better than the various and sundry different new and different ones. Daffodils come back pretty well year after year. Again, you kind of need to fertilize them, though, again, because they're using it up or it's being leached out. Crocus come back well year after year. Snowdrops, blue scilla, kyanodoxa, some of the different smaller bulbs, likewise come back pretty well year after year. So, you know, you kind of make your choices. And, of course, the other thing to remember is tulips are deer candy.
Yeah.
So if you have your fences up and you need to have them up there about 2 hours before the tulips are going to bloom, because otherwise the deer will be there and they will nip them off.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Good reminder there for as far as planning.
Right. Where stuff like the daffodils are pretty much, you know, resistant to deer browsing. You know, I guess they don't like the taste of them or whatever it happens to be. Crocus are another one that is the deer. I mean, I've certainly had deer eat my crocus here. So again, you got to think about that if you're going to protect them, or if you're not, if you aren't or can't or don't want to protect some kind of fencing that isn't so tasteful and beautiful, then you got to make some different choices.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are good tips for planting and planning the bulbs, the flower bulbs and the garlic bulbs. And maybe we'll leave it there for today and let people hop out into the garden and start doing that work. I know you're mid-planting as we speak.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'll get another 200 in today.
Nice.
And work on some other stuff here. And let's just maybe plan on for next week. We can talk about kind of garden cleanup generally, and maybe it might be even including throwing some stuff out there on storage of, I guess we did talk some about vegetable storage, now that I think about it. So, yeah, clean up. I've got my begonia here that are still blooming and looking beautiful, and fuchsias that are flowering nicely. And what are we going to do with those next week or beyond?
Right. Okay. Well, we'll find out next week. And until then, have fun in the garden, Ed, and thank you so much for sharing the expertise and giving us the guidance we need to get a lot of life growing in our own gardens, too. So appreciate your time there, Ed.
All right. You're welcome, Oren.
Till next time.
Yep. Bye.
That's Master Gardener Ed Bajarski bringing us the expertise and helpful tips today on how to get your garlic crop planted. The time has nearly arrived. Big thank you to the Flower Farm for helping to underwrite this program. They're out at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, finished with their season for this year. And they do have trees and shrubs ordered for next year. And they're even letting folks know that the Flower Farm itself is for sale. Flower Farm is at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, 772-3464. And we appreciate their support for In the Garden. And we appreciate everybody out there listening support, because this week it's the Fall Drive. It's our member drive here, our big annual fundraiser at KFSK, your community radio station. Listener-supported public radio, and you're the listener. So we do need your support this week. You can call on in, 772-3808, or pop online, kfsk.org, and make your donation today. Thank you so much. Up next, we've got high country music, Bill Pawlak. It's one from The Vault. Big thank you to Matt Pawlak for providing a recording of one of Bill's classic music shows. Coming to you now.